The last talk this session is about deficiency of potassium uptake and utilization in cotton cultivars differing in maturity. The speaker is Siyuan Guotmi, and co-authors Christopher L. Meehan and Xinhua Yin.
Thank you, Bjorn, and thank you all for coming this afternoon. I want to give you a brief report in the time available on a portion of a study that was recently published on our work on the relationship between biomass accumulation and potassium accumulation and partitioning in cotton. And it's the part that relates to the efficient use, uptake and use of potassium. And potassium needs no introduction, I'm sure, to this audience. I would be safe to say that our cotton extension specialist in Tennessee has gotten more calls about potassium nutrition problems in cotton than all other nutrients combined. This is really the nutrient topic number one, has been for several years, and for several important reasons. The types of deficiency symptoms you see in these pictures are not uncommon in Tennessee. The questions that we have developed relating to potassium nutrition have come along with the advent of what we call fast fruiting or early maturing cultivars, and this isn't new. 20 years ago and more, there was an advent of new cultivars grown in the northern edge of the cotton belt, described by Maples and colleagues in Arkansas as fast fruiting. Cultivars like Delpine 50, Delpine 20, and others that led other investigators to look at, well, first of all, to observe the occurrence of these deficiency symptoms even in the presence of adequate soil nitrogen, potassium by the soil potassium test of the time. And so it led to the question of whether cultivars differ in their needs for potassium. Camberato and Jones looked at this with and so did we in an earlier study, with two questions in mind. First of all, do early maturing cultivars take up K faster? You would think so. It's an intuitive argument, but none in which data have been reported. And second, if that's so, do they require higher K fertility to support that faster uptake? The preceding study to the one I'm talking about today has been published a couple of years ago, in which we looked at two cultivars, contrasting in maturity at two different fertility rates, a 1x and a 2x rate, happened to be 56 and 112 kilograms of K per hectare. And we found, these are the key findings, did not maximize the yield at the 1x rate of the early maturing cultivar we did in the later one, but at the price of delayed maturity. If we went up to the 2x rate, 112K, we did increase the yield of the earlier cultivar, but we delayed the maturity of the later cultivar, and we increased the partitioning of dry matter to vegetative growth in the later cultivar as well, exacerbating its lateness, if you will. Now, the efficiency part of this question really revolves around what you define to be K efficiency and its components. Happily, last year in Physiologia Plantarum, there was a series of articles to which Bill Pettigrew and others contributed. And in there, the K efficiency, broadly speaking, was defined as the capacity of a genotype to grow and yield well in soils low in available K, extractable K, a pretty reasonable broad definition. But they further talked about two components. First, the uptake efficiency of K from the soil, and the second, the use of the K that is uptaken to produce dry matter or yield. And that's the way we're looking at it in the study I'm reporting today. Our hypothesis was, going into this, was that an early maturing cultivar would take up K faster or more efficiently than a later cultivar given equivalent yield potential. It's important to have yield equivalency for this type of comparison. The experiment had two cultivars and two K rates. The cultivars are Fibromax 960 BR and compared to Deltapine 555 BGRR. Two widely adapted cultivars, grown throughout the South and Southeast. 2K rates, as I said, a 1X rate of 56 and a 2X rate, double the UT extension recommendation rate given the extractable soil test level and recommendations for cotton in Tennessee. These two factors were combined in factorial RCB. I'm reporting 2 years of the study today, and we went into the study two times and plant sampled, one at early bloom and again after bloom, after blooming had ceased, in order to capture the time at which bolls were filling most rapidly. And then at the end of the season, we ran the picker through twice for yield and earliness estimates. This is just a shot of the field site. What did it look like? This was a no-tilled Loring silt loam at Jackson, Tennessee. It did receive some supplemental irrigation by overhead boom, but at system capacity, we could not keep up with crop water demand. It's important to note. This is near the end of the season at 138 days after planting. Let's put that into perspective when you look at the phenology of cotton. Where does the bowl filling period lie in the whole growth and development life cycle of the crop? And this figure is actually borrowed from Derek Oosterhaus. Shows where the bowl filling phase is. The sampling part is where you see the vertical arrows here. Early bloom is really at the point when bolls start to set on the plant, about 70, 75 days after planting. Post-bloom is when flowering ceases. There are no more squares. You're really just filling the bowls that accumulated on the plant. And what we were trying to do here was to encompass the period of most rapid bowl filling. This part where the bowl accumulation rate is the highest, this part of the curve, and which we hypothesized to be the time of maximum sink demand, sink strength for potassium in the bowls. Now, our two-year study had very different regimes of weather. Heat unit accumulation and moisture availability in the test. On the left-hand side, you see the degree day accumulation, and on the right, the moisture regimes. The totals for the two are at the tops of the bar graphs. In the green sections of the bar graphs is the part that we're focusing on here, which is the early bloom to post-bloom period. You'll see those here in the green parts of the graph. And what you see here is that in 2007, we were very hot and dry. We had more total heat units and far less moisture. Just in comparison terms, 10% more degree days from planting to harvest. Also, we had 22% less moisture, even though we used supplemental irrigation, and 35% less moisture during this critical phase that we are examining the potassium dynamics in. So bear that in mind, and because you're going to see it vividly in the results, very different results for the years. First of all, the data slides all look something like this one, 2006 on the left, 2007 on the right. The potassium rates across the bottom. Red bars are our early maturing to mid-maturing variety, Fibromax 960. The green bars are Delpine 555, a mid to late maturing cultivar. Two things to notice here. When you don't see letters on the bars, that means there were no significant differences at 5%, and there were none in this test. So we did satisfy the requirement of trying to get equivalent yields between the cultivars, but unlike the predecessor study, we were able to achieve equivalent yields from Fibromax 960, the early maturing cultivar, to the later one in this part of the comparison in both years, even though the yields in 2007, if you'll notice, were reduced due to the heat and the drought. Earliness of maturity. This is the percent of total yield picked at first harvest. We ran picker twice, and we looked at the proportion of the total at first harvest. Again, big differences between the years, but more particularly look at 2006 here. You'll see that the early maturing variety did not respond to potassium in terms of its maturity, but the later variety, 555, was delayed in maturity by having a lower percent first harvest with a higher K rate. That was consistent with a predecessor study, so we did see that same pattern in this study too. In 2007, we didn't capture that. Notice all these percentages are up quite high. It meant that heat units were roaring by so fast we couldn't keep up. frankly, with the, running the picker twice. And though we did get a small but significant delay in maturity due to the higher K rate, it didn't amount to much. It was significant, didn't amount to much, and there were no cultivar differences in that year. Plant growth rate, this is above ground rate of growth, grams per plant per day during the period from early bloom to post bloom. Again, this is the period of rapid bowl filling. And notice here that in 2006, the K rate did not significantly influence the growth rate. What they did, there were huge differences in the between the varieties in terms of total above ground biomass accumulation during this time. Those differences didn't appear at a significant level in 2007. This interaction that you see, there is a visual interaction here. It was not statistically significant. It was about 10% level of significance. And what looks like what happened was that the lower K rate, the early maturing variety lost its growth rate, whereas the later maturing variety remained relatively steady and consistent with the year before. If we look at the K uptake rate, this is the total in the shoots of the plants, vegetative and reproductive shoots during the same period, we see some pretty much the same pattern. 2006, big difference in, between the cultivars at both K rates, but no influence of the 1X, 2X rates on K uptake. 2007, no significant differences, but again, a tendency to react differently in the two varieties under the heat and drought conditions here. So we did establish that there was a difference in cultivars and K uptake rate. What about the fruit growth rate? Well, they didn't show up quite as well, but they were still significant here. Notice in 2006, the cultivars did differ in the fruit development rate, consistent with the earliness of the FiberMax 960. 2007 did not show up as significant due to heat and drought, it appears. As we looked at the fruit K accumulation rate too, here, big cultivar differences here as we saw a huge amount of K into the fruit of the early to mid maturing variety compared to the later one. And again, a slight interaction, not quite significant, here in 2007. That again appears to be a case of suppression in the case of the earlier maturing cultivar. Now, on to K efficiency. Now, this was the title of the talk, and presumably why you're here. The K uptake efficiency is the plant absorption from the soil, and it's a simple ratio. The K in the plant relative to the K in the soil. In the soil, am I about done here, John? I think I'm sorry, but just to because this is the payoff of the whole thing. K of the soil was the sum of the soil test, Malic 1 soil test from the winter before, plus the K that we applied as fertilizer. Okay, and the K utilization efficiency is the yield we produce per unit K absorbed, and that's the grams of lint per unit K in the plant at the time of our second sample. But obviously the lint wasn't produced then, but that's when we measured the K. Here's the K uptake ratios. A little bit confusing here. We had an early bloom and a post-bloom sample. Again, what we saw here was a decline with a higher K rate at the post-bloom period of 2006. Also a significant difference due to K rate at the early bloom sample of 2007. But no variety differences in K uptake efficiency. K utilization ratio, kind of the same thing. No cultivar differences, but here we saw a very consistent pattern between the 2 years in the amount of lint produced per unit plant K. A decrease due to at the higher K rate, in that we put on more but didn't get more lint as a result of that application. I put on a reference bar here, but I won't have time to talk about that, I'm afraid. It is basically the inverse of the nutrient requirement that's been widely published, the amount of K you need for every 100 kilograms of K needed for every 100 kilograms of lint, which is a widely published reference point. Here were our main findings. Not any differences due to cultivars in either K uptake or K utilization efficiencies at the rates that we were working at. What we found was that cultivar differences were not apparent with sufficient K, and doesn't that indeed support the earlier work published by Ken Kassman? Ken, years ago, did these curves of two varieties that differed. These are Kayla varieties now in California that differed in K efficiency. And what his point was that those differences only show up under relatively low K rates and disappear as you climb the response curve to K. And so, again, it's that lower rate that where it would show up. We weren't working at those rates. So we need to think about the fact that K efficiency in cultivars is environmentally dependent, not something that we will find independent of the background K rate. So with that, I think I'm done. There's more information about this in a recently published article, the most recent Agronomy Journal. My co-authors and I published on this subject. And we want to thank the staff at UT and also the sponsors, Cotton Incorporated, along with IPNI and FAR. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, now we are not really competing with any other sessions anymore, so I think...